The Reaper virus.
It's what's for Armageddon.
Yeah. document number 325873, location Amargosa Valley, Nevada, United States of America, latitude 36.642639, longitude -116.400513.
It all happened so quickly, and the world changed forever. The Reaper virus infection killed nearly all the population. The other survivors stood in horror, as I did, and watched everyone around them die from the bites and blood of the infected. The people that died came back within an hour, except they were no longer human. The infection that killed them brought them back as zombies. Humans became the bottom of the food chain quickly. There was no government or army to protect those that had survived. The society I once knew was gone. I had found several other survivors, and we tried to band together to forage for food. Each day we fought to stay alive and not be eaten. We had almost lost all hope for survival until I found a map in an abandoned military base that we'd held up at for a couple of days. The map was just lying out for all eyes to see. It was directions to a top-secret underground military base located underneath Area 51. I figured the military must have known something was up and planned to go there for refuge. Looks like they didn't make it from all the decomposed, half-eaten bodies we found on the base. We had hope again. The trip was overwhelming. There were so many zombies in some places, they turned over some of the military vehicles we salvaged. They quickly pulled people out of the Hummers and tore them apart. 26 of us started out when we left for Area 51. By the time we arrived at our destination, there was only 11 of us left. I led us to the underground bunker, and when we arrived, no military personnel was present. The bunker had all the essentials we needed to survive for a lifetime. We were lucky. I guess you can say that. It's hard not seeing the sun every day or knowing what's happening in the outside world. I figure if we wait, the zombies will eventually decompose and we can go back outside one day. I have posted this letter in several places, with a map included, so if you see this, please, come and join us. The way I look at it is since there are so few survivors that live through this ordeal, maybe we were chosen by a higher force to make the world a better place. At least, that's what I would like to think.
Document number 905871. Location, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Latitude, 45.421501. Longitude, -75. 691887.
To whomever may read this, I've not got much time left in which to write this. That's because I've suffered a grievous physical injury in the past few minutes, from which I fear I may not recover. About half an hour ago, the sanctity of my office here in the Parliament buildings was violated by one of those creatures, which are known in the tongues of the plebeians like the Liberal Party as zombies. In retrospect, I probably should not have allowed the Finance Minister to cut the Parliament Hill security budget as grievously as he did. I recognized the type immediately from some of those ultra-violent horror films my children forced me to watch recently. The man, such as he was, emitted a violent stench that I knew from instinct as that of rotting flesh, and that became even more apparent when he actually entered the room. Indeed, most of his flesh had rotted off his body, so much so that he seemed to be much more bones than skin. As well, his eyeballs had detached themselves from their sockets, and his nose and ears were completely gone, likely from the decomposing process, or a fight with another of his kind. However, his limbs remained in a state of semi-mobility, which was how he managed to cross the room and infect me with the strange zombie disease, which, now, is slowly killing me. I managed to hold him off briefly by beating him soundly on the head several times with the telephone on my desk, but this proved not enough to stop him. He proceeded to knock me down and do some things I would rather not talk about while I was in that situation. Eventually, I forced him from the room, and then I found myself in this current predicament. Now, as I gaze out the window, I can see the extent of the problem facing us. The city of Ottawa is in flames, and rampant destruction appears to be spreading across the river into Gatineau as well. My colleagues in government and likewise those traitors in the supposedly loyal opposition are, no doubt, like I am, in circumstances beyond their control. It is fortunate that my wife and children are currently outside the city, but I fear that this madness will eventually consume them as well. I can only pray for their safety. My own feelings of guilt, an emotion I have suppressed for most of my life, are slowly starting to come to the surface. Was it not my fault, my opponents and accusers might say, that things had come to this? Was it my fault for sending our troops off to an honorable and entirely justifiable endeavor in Afghanistan? Was it my fault for supposedly kowtowing to the Americans, especially when the President and I were on the friendliest of terms? Was it my fault that the Taliban were able to come back into power after that poorly run farce of an election and that Pakistan would supply them with atomic bombs? And was it my fault that the United States started this whole convoluted chain of events in the first place? I think about these things, and once again, cool, calculated logic prevails in my thought process above emotional responses. No. None of this is truly my fault in any way. The liberals led us into Afghanistan. That I know for sure. They knew that they were going to lose in 2006, that our conservative revolution was too powerful a force for them to defeat. So, they strove in private to stick us with something that would cripple us. They knew about Afghanistan long before I did. And they deliberately wanted to have something to finger me for when I came into power. The moronic media, who always side with them anyway, took their side on this, just as I figured, and they've made my life much more of a living hell than it deserved to be. Those journalists collectively have no more intelligence than a sheep. Otherwise, why would they so blindly promote my opponents at my expense in order to get me out of power? And don't get me started on those rapscallion comedians who dare to imitate and mock me on that liberal house organ, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I don't know if the zombie conflagration has reached Toronto and Halifax yet, since my internet went out hours ago during the chaos in which we are currently engulfed. But if it has, I can take the most supreme satisfaction in my dying minutes in knowing that ill-bred fools are finally getting the punishment they deserve. As for my opponents, their fates are no doubt going to be the same as mine. But, since they lack the security that my position affords me, theirs may be a more gruesome demise. I expected the leader of the opposition to come out and accuse me of perpetrating this. He would do something like that, the coward. He and his unworthy predecessors have done nothing but lob unworthy accusations at me since I took office. Those liberals are so used to being in charge, they cannot stand the fact that other people are running their government. They make me sick. Just because I was in the position of having a minority government was no reason for them to deny the legitimacy of my government. It was more legitimate government than anything that they could have produced. As for those socialists in the NDP and the separatists in the Bloc Quebecus, well, they made their beds, and now they have to lie in them. I always wanted to be Prime Minister of Canada, but I never expected that I would end up being the last one. This, of course, fills me with a sense of dread and shame. My vision of Canada was not one that was universally accepted by any means, but at least I had one, honestly. Canada has always been best governed by those who have had the kind of beliefs and ideas which conservative people like me have always possessed. Everyone else who thinks otherwise was deluded in their thinking. I hope history, if it continues to be preserved after this Holocaust, will think on me kindly and that it will have a much more balanced and equitable view of me than anything I received from the public and press during this lifetime. I feel it's time to conclude this narrative now, as my strength is beginning to fade. But know this, if Canada is able to emerge from this time, it will be better off for what I did to help preserve it. Liberals be damned. Yours faithfully, S.H.
Dear sir, or madam, or whoever, I have no idea to whom this letter should be addressed because I have not seen another living human being in 2 months. So this is to you, whoever you are. I never thought I would live to see the day when corpses stood up and shambled about the earth as they are now. The first news reports I saw about the living dead, well, I thought they were some kind of Halloween advertisement. I know that sounds stupid now, but it's the truth. 2 months and 3 days after that initial television report, and here I sit alone on my little secluded farm, preparing to commit suicide. Something that every person I knew told me was wrong, no matter the circumstances. Of course, I don't think anyone took the present scenario into consideration when they were telling me this. Anyway, it's a moot point now. One of them bastards bit me about 15 minutes ago, so I'll either die or turn within the next few hours. Now, if I don't lose my nerve, I might jump off the roof. There are no more bullets for the guns, and the knives are all down in the kitchen. Most of the undead have left the area. Who knows where they're headed? That I know of, I'm the only survivor in my entire family. All the others were either killed or have turned into one of those things. I survived because I found out early that they can't swim, and that they don't usually look up or try to climb things like trees or ladders. If you're quiet, and you got at least 12 feet off the ground, they go right by, sniffing the air, like dogs. Sometimes, if I'm out in the tree that I climb into from my roof, a zombie will amble around in a circle, like a buzzard circling something dead. Talk about an upside-down world. I took to the attic after the first swarm of zombies came through the farm. Just climbed the drop-down stairs, pulled them up behind me, and left my poor husband alone, fighting him off so I could escape. And they didn't kill him when they took off after Mrs. Peterson and her dog. Anthony lay down there on the floor, moaning every now and then, changing. I used the axe to sever his head before he gained enough strength to get up off the floor. I guess you'll be wondering how survivors did simple, everyday things after this catastrophe. Simply put, nothing is simple anymore. I've taken to using the bathroom while balancing in the tree, and when it rains, I bathe out there, usually without soap. I don't even remember the last time I combed my hair. I eat whatever I can chew and swallow. There's no electricity or running water in the house. My pantry was full of dried fruits and canned food, but I didn't get much of it up here, and I've been too scared to go back down for more until today. And that's how that thing got to me. How was I supposed to know it was standing in the laundry room? I tore at the bite mark on my upper arm, trying to tear out the infected tissue with my nails, and then with the broken glass from the window, but I can feel the poison running into my blood, getting stronger, making me dumber by the minute. If you find this, kiss my ass. I hate you. What right do you have to survive, and who the hell do you think you are going through my stuff anyway? Sorry. I don't really hate you. I don't even know you. And I hope you do find this. I'm going to leave it up here, pinned to the sheet over the window. It's this poison making me crazy. It's getting harder to think, harder to write. My arm hurts. Too bad the doctor isn't here. He was first to get bitten. By a little girl, no less. And it serves him right, going around acting like he'd cure the world of everything. Well, guess what, Doc? You were useless as tits on a boar hog when it came to zombies. That was mean. Damn right. If he were alive, I'd kill him myself. Whole town deserved it, if you ask me. So do you. It's the poison. It's making me feel mean. And I want to bite something. My teeth ache. To hell with it. I'm not killing myself. And I'm done with this stupid letter. Who gives a shit if you find it and understand what a horrible affair this has been? Who cares if you survived? Who cares if there are undead people walking around looking for someone to eat? Did you care when you came up here nose around? You better start caring, because I might still be here. And by now, I'm sure I've changed completely. Don't make any sudden moves. That annoys me.
Document number 080382. Location, Austin, Texas, United States of America. Latitude, 30.267599. Longitude, -97.742981.
Dear anyone, this letter is not addressed to anyone in particular, especially since everyone I know is dead. Is dead the word? I guess I don't know what to call them anymore. They're definitely not alive anymore, that's for sure. Living people don't smell like that. My parents have certainly never tried to eat me before all this happened, too. I've been stuck in my attic for a few days now. I can still hear them shuffling around down there. The only friend I have in the whole world is my dog, Chow Chow. Well, I guess I should say had. I hadn't eaten anything in days, and God only knew how long, if ever, I was going to get out of this attic. Chow Chow was getting a strange look in his eyes, like he was thinking the same thing as me. It was either him or me, the way I saw it. Don't get me wrong, I love my dog. I still do, actually. I don't know if the smell of burnt hair will ever get out of my nose. All I had to cook the meat with was a candle. And let me tell you, it's not a pretty sight. I'm picking bits of meat from one of his bones right now. The taste is not necessarily pleasant, but it'll have to do. The worst part about all this is being the only one alive. I almost wish I'd just join them, be with my loved ones again. Right now, I'm an outsider, alienated from the rest of the world. I don't know if anyone out there is alive or not, but I guess it doesn't matter. I don't see myself getting out of here alive, not with Mom and Dad waiting for me to come out. I'd hoped they'd get bored and leave, but I was wrong. I guess patience comes with death. Dad sure was never patient before. I had the bruises to prove it. I only write this letter so someone knows what happened to me. Even scarier than a death brought on by my decaying cannibalistic parents is for nobody to know my story. I don't want to be just another walking corpse. I want someone to know who I was. My name is Jared Little. I'm 16 years old and was previously going to Lakewood High School, where I was making straight A's. I had always been a good student. The classes always seemed easy to me, and I'm not really sure why. Just lucky, I guess. All of that seems so redundant now. All that time wasted for nothing. Just look at the world now. I doubt that history or English class is going to matter much these days. I had a good life before all of this happened. My parents were typical, busy at work all day, but still tried to show an interest in my life. Dad could get hot under the collar from time to time, but nothing out of the ordinary. His belt found my backside more times than I'd like to admit. I didn't have any brothers or sisters, though Mom and Dad did try. They said they didn't know what was wrong, but they had no problems bringing me into the world. I wonder if there's something to that. Maybe I'm supposed to live for a reason. God put me here with some kind of purpose. I don't know what it could be. My book smarts won't get me out of this mess. I thought about trying the window, but the roof is pretty high up and my unathletic legs could crumble when I hit the ground. Then I'd be served on a silver platter to the rotting corpses out there. And they are everywhere. I'm sure some have joined my parents under the attic door, but they're spread out all over the neighborhood. Even if I jumped from the window and landed safely, I have no idea where I'd go. I'll never forget that day. I was sitting at the kitchen table doing my science project at the time. Mom was cooking dinner and humming her usual tune. Dad still wasn't home from work yet. The door burst open, and Dad had a strange look to him, like he'd been beaten up or something. He stumbled towards us, not answering Mom when she tried to talk to him. I could see others behind him, following him into our living room, all with the same glazed look in their eyes. Dad growled like an animal, then jumped on Mom. I saw him bite into her face, ripped her cheek right off. I'll never forget the way she screamed. It didn't take long for her to get up and join the others. I barely had time to grab Chow Chow and get to the attic. Poor Chow Chow. I really do miss him. A few days with nothing to eat will really start to mess with your head. The dog that I had loved since I was a baby, my one true friend, was now filling my stomach. I hated the thought, but I had to eat something. If I had time to grab some supplies, the attic would be perfect. The others seemed too stupid to pull on the string, just shambling around down there, pounding on the walls. They know I'm here, and sooner or later they might get their wish. I don't know how long I can take this anymore. It wouldn't be so bad to join them. The worst part would be when they were biting me, eating me alive. I'm sure it would hurt a lot, but then I'd be with my parents again. We could roam the neighborhood together, looking for others to eat. The thought of eating a person doesn't appeal to me, but I'm sure I could get used to it. I mean, I'm not even dead yet, and I just ate my dog. Could it be much different than that? I wonder if anyone from my school is still alive. There are a couple that I hope got what was coming to them. Danny Forrester, for one. That bastard gave me a hard time since middle school. I could just imagine me, Mom, and Dad tearing him limb from limb, together, as a family. It's actually a touching thought. I just checked the window again, and the amount of them seems to have doubled. I wonder if Mom and Dad are using some kind of dead people language to call them over here. Hey, everyone, come quick. Our son is locked in the attic, and we can all share him when he comes down. If more of them come into the house, I wonder if they'll figure out how to pull on the string. Maybe some are smarter than others. If that happens, I'm done for. I can hear them down there, screaming and moaning. The door just moved. They must have finally figured it out. It's not hard. Pull the string and the door opens. Stairs fall out, and then it's just a few steps to their long-awaited meal. I guess I better go address the problem. I don't think I want to stay up here anymore. It's time to go with Mom and Dad. I miss my family. To whoever's reading this, I wish you luck. Share my story with others. The door just fell open. My time is over. Jared Little.
Document number 410912. Location: Marine Corps Air Station, El Toro, Irvine, California, United States of America. Latitude 33.667742. Longitude -117.743388.
This sucks. Without internet access, I can't blog anymore. I mean, the whole zombies taking over the world thing sucks too, of course. Mom thinks I channel my mental energy into being mad about the little things so I don't have to think too hard about the big picture and get all traumatized or something. This is where the eye-rolling smiley would go if I had a computer anymore. Mom has to say all that stuff because she's a therapist and doesn't know any other way to talk. But I don't think having to live in an old blimp hangar with about a zillion other people stinking it up with their crap and BO is such a little thing, actually. The diary was Mom's idea. She thinks I should be journaling to express my fears and stress about the end of the world, or at least my preteen angst. First off, when did journal become a verb? And besides that, she thinks she's going to flatter me into it by going on about how I've always been such a good writer and blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess it sort of worked because here I am writing and all, but I'm not doing it to make her happy. I'm just doing it because I miss my blog. That's all. It's ironic how things turn out. I mean, I get in trouble in school for writing horror stories in English class, and look what happens. Seriously, like, every other day I'd get one of those see me after class notes. They even called Mom and Dad a couple of times. Like I was going to blow up the freaking school just because I wrote a story about monsters and serial killers. Haven't they ever heard of sublimation? It's the ones who don't have a creative outlet that you got to worry about. Okay, I stole that word from one of Mom's books about trading nutballs, but still. Me? I'd be more scared of the scientific nerds. They probably could make exploding stuff, while humble little me can only write about it. Humble little I. That doesn't sound right. Jeez. Can't Miss James see the difference? Anyways, I wonder if she would have been so pissy about it if I was a guy. or then it would have been okay because I was just getting out my male aggression. Wherever Miss James is, I bet she wishes she'd paid more attention to my stories now. She could have learned some sweet survival tips. I wonder if you can live off eating zombies. They can't taste any worse than the MREs they give us to eat here. I used to think that it should stand for mealy, rotten edibles. But then, I reconsidered the edibles part. I guess since it's supposed to be some kind of virus and all, you couldn't really eat them, huh? Anyways, I guess it doesn't matter about the horror stories anymore. Life is a bigger horror story than I could ever come up with. And I'm supposed to use my journal to get all my anger out on paper. I think I'm going to need a bigger journal.
Document number 228004. Location, Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Latitude 42.312561. Longitude -71.088676.
Mom and Dad, I don't know where you are, but I'm pretty sure that you're dead like everyone else. But in case you're out there alive somewhere, come home. I wanted to leave you this note. First off, I wanted you to know that I love you very much. I know I haven't been the best son, but I am grateful for all that you've done for me. God knows, I've come to realize how lucky I was for all the crap that I put you through. I just hope you weren't too disappointed in me. There really isn't any excuse for a 33-year-old healthy guy to be living in his parents' basement. There's so much that I want to say that I'm so sorry for that, it just seems ridiculous. But I really want you to know, I'm sorry for dropping out of college and never getting my own place, for never really having a job and mooching off you, all the times I used the car without asking for it, and for crashing it, for getting a DUI and having you come to bail me out of jail, for spending the money you gave me on video games, comic books, porn, and beer, for bringing girls home late at night and then sneaking them out. I'm sorry for not being the son that you deserved. When the world crapped out, you were both at work in the city, and I was home in front of the television as usual. The stations didn't all get interrupted by that emergency signal thing. I probably would have barely noticed what happened. By the time I tried to call you, I couldn't get a signal on the cell. Being stuck at home without a car, I just decided to wait for you. But of course, you never came home. I was freaked out from the news reports, and I barricaded the doors and windows like it said on TV. But I really didn't know what else to do. I kept waiting for you to call, or even for Jimmy to call. But I guess he was busy with Claire and the kids. When I saw the zombies walking in the neighborhood, I really got scared. But then there were the fires and the gunshots, and I didn't think it was safe even in the house anymore. I grabbed all the food and drinks in the house and barricaded myself in the basement. I wrote "Alive Downstairs" on the door, in case you returned. I've lost track of how long I've been down here. There were noises above, but I'm afraid to go upstairs. I stay so quiet. The food ran out 6 days ago, and I had my last drink 2 days ago. I'm so tired. I know that soon I'm going to fall asleep for the last time. Love, your son.
We'll be right back.
Document number 001666. Location, Hancock County, West Virginia, United States of America. Latitude, 40.516178. Longitude, negative 80.59343.
To you. If you're a reading this, then I suppose you ain't one of them things that killed my dog, ate my sheep, and tore apart my wife. And that's the order I'll be a-missing them in, too. Bastards. Now, I knew something weren't right when Grandma done got up out of that pine box we laid her in for the wake. Boy, was my wife good and pissed when Uncle Clem done blew Grandma's brains all over the new carpeting in the family room. Out here in God's country, we still have wakes when someone up and dies. Well, we used to, until all my damn family got bit, and then they died, and then they got up as one of those fucking leg-dragging bastards. And you know what? I was happy as hell to shoot most of them. Bunch of leeches. And I did kind of feel bad about blowing Emily's head clean off. She was my wife. Dumbass. I told her not to go out the outhouse at night. Just shit in the 5-gallon bucket in the house. Stupid broad. Now, I was kind of looking forward to some of that alone time. No real chores to do, no animals to feed, no list of shit my wife demanded to be done, nobody bitching at me because I drank too much. I have it made here. Got me a good generator that's kept the sides of beef in the freezer from going over. All the canned shit that Emily put up. The well ain't acted up a lot. Done killed most of those bastard things outside, and I still have a shitload of ammo and shine left. But, as the weeks dragged on, I got lonely. Can you fucking believe that? I've been called a mean old bastard since I was 40 years old. What's that big word my smart-ass grandson called me? Oh yeah, a curded mudgeon. Well, hell, it was something like that. They'd all told me I should just go live on a deserted island somewhere and say, fuck the world. And I have said, fuck the world. And I'm now in what I done look at as my deserted island. It's my farm. Hell, mayhaps I'm sorry for that shit. I do know that I ain't going on like this. Got my favorite Mossberg 12-gauge, and there's a slug already pumped into the chamber. I done plan on blowing my full head off here, soon as I finish and sign this last here bit of me. So, to you, if you're reading this, don't be a fucking prick like I am. It ain't a worth the grief. Now, get the fuck off my property. Spud.
Documents number 073014 and number 073015. Location, Pennaford, Vermont, United States of America. Latitude, 43.871651. Longitude, -72.451653.
My dearest Brian, the nights are getting colder here. The good news is that we have plenty of food, water, and gas for the generator to last us through the winter. Douglas isn't doing well. He stays awake all night staring out the window at those things on the lawn. There seems to be more of them every day. He seems to like taunting them. I think he's losing control. Every day he checks himself for bite marks and insists that I do the same. If I don't, he makes me strip in front of him so he can inspect me himself. He's slipping. We haven't even been outside in weeks. I hate that you're so close yet so far away. I can see your window right next door. It's right across from mine, but it's so dark, and we have to keep the lights off at night to avoid attracting attention, that I can't see you. Sometimes I wonder if you're looking for me when I'm looking for you. I'm writing these letters in the hopes that I can get them to you somehow. Maybe I can tuck them in a bottle and throw them across the hedges when Douglas isn't around. He goes around the house every hour, checking the boards and sheets that we have covering the windows and doors. He's becoming paranoid. He's starting to scare me. He caught me writing the other day and asked me what I was doing. I told him I was writing a letter to the kids, and he started to cry. He's losing control every day, more and more. I don't feel safe here. I'm hiding these letters in the roll-top desk in the den. Doug's always hated that thing and would never go near it. There are letters for Jacob and Maddie in there also, if I don't make it. Find them, Brian. Find them and take care of them. They're your responsibility now. It's up to you if you want to tell them the truth. I have to go now. I think I hear Douglas coming up the steps. I love you. Melissa. November 10th.
Anyone. It's cold and empty without her now. All the food is gone. All the water I saved up in the sink and tub are gone. And I'm down to a few of the half-empty milk jugs I managed to fill before the pipes dried up. Not that it matters much. Not for much longer, anyway. I'm getting pretty close to the end. I can still hear them. I hear them outside trying to get in. The only upside to doing this is that after it's done, I won't have to hear that goddamn moaning anymore. I feel cold. It's freezing outside. And it doesn't seem to slow those bastards down one bit. I've lit the fireplace with some clothes soaked in whatever diesel's left from the generator and some broken pieces of wood from that roll-top desk in the den where she kept all her letters. I'm writing my own letter now as it burns, and I feel cold. The house is warm, but I'm still cold. I'm so sorry for what I did, Melissa, for what I had to do. But after I saw what was happening to you, what you were becoming, I knew it happened to other people, but it couldn't happen to me. And now it can't happen to you. Not anymore. Please, anyone but her. I did what I had to do. I didn't want you to suffer. I hope to God you didn't suffer. I did what I had, just like I'm doing now, so that we can be together again. It's cold, but it doesn't hurt. Maybe the fire will spread to the house and we'll return to ashes together. Just to be safe, I'm going to store this letter in one of my old metal ammo crates so it doesn't burn. He always hated those old things and wouldn't go near them. It's getting colder now. I miss you and love you, even after what happened. If anyone finds this and finds us, I want you to know exactly what it is you're seeing. The woman lying next to me is the most wonderful, beautiful woman in the world. She's a loving, loyal wife and a caring, devoted mother to our children. Our dear, sweet children. They don't even know. I hope they never do. Jacob, Maddie, if you're reading this, stay out of our room. There's nothing you need to see in there. Just know your mother and I love you very much, and know that Mommy and Daddy will be looking down on you from heaven, together. Signed, Douglas, November 14th.